So some of the greatest influences in our lifetime are women. From the time we're born, we're nurtured, we're cared for by our parents, but especially early on by our mothers. Fathers are protectors, and they make their own impact on our lives, but early. The nurture and development of our identity, our personhood, is quite often our mothers. My wife is another person who has bestowed on me love, grace, and encouragement over my adult life, and I'm forever grateful for the role of those women in my life, and I'm sure you've experienced that as well. So today, we're going to start a short series, a short summer series, as we look at people in the Bible, specifically women. We don't always do that. We're going to tell the story of some individual women that are really notable, very much so. They have certain attributes and they live their lives and can be examples for all of us, each of us. And today's sermon is about Rahab, the woman who gave two Israeli men who were sent out as spies in the land. She protected them and gave them shelter. The spies were in the land to scout it out, to see what they could expect as Joshua would lead the people of God into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. It's a pretty exciting story. There's lots of adventures in it. And while you know I love history and I love geography, I would love to dive into all the details of the Battle of Jericho. We'll do that a little bit, but our focus today will be on Rahab and how she contributed to the story, how she contributed to the Bible in actually fairly important ways. I have to say, more than surprised as I looked over all the details and influences she had. It's fascinating to me how God uses each of us, our skills, our abilities, but even more so, our journeys that we experience, the mistakes, the mess-ups, the troubles we get ourselves in. God often puts that all together and somehow uses it for His glory, as is in today's study, as we'll see. The setting is a woman's home in the town of Jericho. Jericho is one of the oldest established cities that we have in the world today. It's located on the northwest side of the Dead Sea, deep in the Rift Valley. It's actually 1,000 feet below sea level. For the most part, it's completely arid in that area, uninhabitable, except right around Jericho. There's three large gushing springs that come out of the ground there in that desert. It makes one of the most awesome oases in the entire world. Because of that water source, it is a prized piece of real estate. It has lush gardens and lush crops around it. For centuries, armies have sought to conquer it and control it. It's the perfect strategic base for water and supplies. In addition, it's on one of the major trade routes in the whole region. So, of course, I have some pictures. We start out with a map, and you can see it. You can see with that line, that's the route that Israel will go as they approach Jericho. And you can see the Dead Sea right there, Jebus, which would eventually be Jerusalem. Of course, that is a Canaanite city at this time. It is located over to the left. And that valley is one deep, very, lots of rocks, except right at that area. We'll be talking about that today as we get into it. I have a couple pictures just so you can get a feel of the neighborhood. I show you this because it looks so lush and green, but it is anything but. You can see in the distance a desert, and it's just like an island in the middle of this desert. Let's go ahead and go to the next picture. That's how most of it looks. And we were up taking that picture up in that shelter up there. You can see walls. It's had many generations of different walls that were built around Jericho, and that is the Tell of Jericho. A tell, of course, is a city that's been built up over many generations, And it's just fascinating to see the different layers. I think we have another shot of the layers there. Yes, this is an interesting picture, and that's Beth smiling at us. That is the top of a watchtower that was uncovered inside the tell. Beth had climbed down into that. She's very brave. But you can see just the rubble and how rough it is there. I think that's the last one, isn't it? Yeah. So Jericho, very interesting place. The woman Rahab lived in this protected walled city. She had her own home business. She was an innkeeper. And it was located just inside the outer wall. So she was actually on the wall, as part of the wall. She's very successful in that. She was very sharp. She was very aware of the people and the events around her. There's just one little tiny, small thing you should know. She also was a prostitute. So we know she is an innkeeper for sure, but there is some discussion. Did she run a brothel? It's certainly possible, but she had travelers that would stay at her inn as well. I've reviewed a lot of material on her, and it was interesting, the discussion. There is some discussion whether she was a prostitute or not, but the evidence is pretty tall. So a quick flyby of some of the details of the story as we get into this story. So the nation of Israel, they had wandered around for 40 years in the desert. You're familiar with that. Moses had just died, and God had anointed Joshua to guide the nation, and they're about to enter the promised land. The first step is they have to go across the Jordan, then defeat the city of Jericho, this walled city. They're camped out in what we know of today as the country of Jordan, just east of the river. And I don't know if Joshua talked to God about this, or if on his own accord, he picked two men to go out and scout out what was going on over there. They didn't have Google Maps to check it out. And so Joshua sent these two young men to really be spies on the land. Not just Jericho, but the whole area. But they found themselves in Jericho, and they went to this inn. Happened to be Rahab's inn. They're connected to the wall. I'm sure they thought it was a safe place because a lot of travelers in and out, and they could just kind of move in. But evidently, someone talked to somebody. Somebody saw somebody. And we read in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the following. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shechem. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who have come to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. Remember, I said Rahab was very aware of people and things around her. And we don't know why. It's a mystery. But at that one moment in time, she made a dramatic decision. She put her life on the line. And I also find it fascinating how the king didn't just barge in. It's like they respected her home. They talked to her outside her house. And in verse 4 through 6, we read the following. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gates, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that led to the fjords of Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Rahab was a woman of action and resourcefulness, as we'll see. She knew how to cope under pressure, under stress. She really used her brains. Joshua 2, 8 through 11 reads, "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted with fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, above and on earth below.'" So Rahab shares with the spies the total fear the people of Jericho are in. The fear of the nation of Israel. She tells them their city has heard of the miracles, the story that God did as the Israelites left Egypt and wandered in the desert for 40 years, how he parted the waters, how he protected them as different kingdoms tried to harm them. And she acknowledges in a very personal way that the Hebrews' God is the one true God. It was really a strong confession of faith. That verse, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and the earth below." Rahab knows that God has given Jericho and all the land of Canaan to Israel. It's almost like she speaks with more confidence than Joshua himself did. She figured out that Israel's God was all-powerful. And she knows her and her family are totally vulnerable. So here she is in this walled city. She knows how powerful that those people are with their God. And she feels the fear of everyone in her community. So what would you do? Especially if you're strategic and wise and you think about things. In Joshua 2, 12 through 13, she says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." God told Joshua, as he was about ready to enter the land, to destroy everyone. Especially, don't start making deals with people. But these spies were at her mercy. They only had one choice they could really make, if they wanted to live, that is. With an agreement in place and details and directions worked out, the spies added some ingredients themselves. Joshua 2, 14 through 18. "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down a rope through the window for the house she lived in. It was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, This oath you made us swear... will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house." So all the parties agreed. It's an agreement. She let the spies down, and they headed west, away from the Israeli camp. They actually went farther away, knowing the search teams were out looking for them east of where they were. And they hid out for 3 days. And after 3 days, they headed back to talk to Joshua and make the report. They told him exactly what Rahab had told them. It had to be really encouraging, because they would know God had gone before them, as he often does to all of us, for all of us. And he is discouraged. He has planted fear in their hearts. That fear. If you've ever had deep fear, and those people needed deep fear, for what was about to come on them. And as commanded, Joshua and the people crossed the Jordan. They attacked the city of Jericho as instructed. And of course, you can follow the story in these chapters that follow. And most of you know the story. For one time, for 6 days, the people of Israel, their army and all the people, marched around this walled city. And on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times. And then they shouted, and the walls came crushing down. It's a pretty phenomenal story. Stories that many children have heard over the years. It destroyed the whole city, except for one part of the wall. That part of the wall with a scarlet cord coming down the window. As verse 17 says from chapter 6 of Joshua, only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies we sent. And in the middle of the battle, Joshua, knowing what this lady had done for the spies, said these words. This is Joshua 6, 22 through 23 and verse 25. Joshua said to the two men who spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, her sister, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives in Israel among the Israelites to this day. So our story ends there. It is a captivating story, a dramatic story. I'm sure many of you could sing the song that Joshua fought the battle at Jericho. We enjoy it a lot. But actually, the story for us, as we look at Rahab, doesn't end here. She did save her family in rather strategic ways, but it impacted the people of Israel far more than I realized. I've actually been studying other women we're going to be studying in the weeks to come, and I was taken back. I did Rahab because chronologically, the women I'm talking about, she came first. We find out that Rahab went and married a Hebrew. She has children. And one of her children, you might know, was named Boaz. How many of you recognize Boaz from the book of Ruth? That's right. That's her child. He marries Ruth, and they have a child, a son named Obed. He becomes the father of Jesse, who's the father of David, King David. So Rahab was King David's great-great-grandmother. And thus, in the direct line of Jesus Christ himself, not only is that recorded more than 1,500 years later, the best part of 2,000 years later, in the Gospel of Matthew. You think about that for a minute. 2,000 years ago. That's in the day of Jesus. Think how much history has gone on in our last 2,000 years. It's almost that same time span that in the book of Matthew, we find the story of Rahab. But also in the book of Hebrews, we find an even more astonishing thing. In Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is one of the most notable lists in all of the Bible. The list starts in verse 17. And it's quite lengthy. I abbreviated it, as you can see there on the screen. By faith, Abraham. This is from Hebrews 11, 17 through 29. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. In verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab. Because she welcomed the spies. Was not killed with those who were disobedient. One of the most impressive lists in the entire Bible. Many great men of faith are listed in detail. And who makes the list? But a woman, not just any woman, a prostitute, makes the list. a prostitute, a sinner, an outcast, really one who is not only saved, but is listed as one of the great examples of heroes of the faith. A person who is recognized, a person who recognized the one true God when she had no idea who God was. When the Apostle James wrote his book at the end of the New Testament, he noted this regarding Rahab. In the righteousness that God bestowed on her, James 2:25, in the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. She advised them well. Really, this lady was amazing when you think about it. At least God thought so, because he put her as a very normal. None of the other women I've studied for this series has a pedigree listed like Rahab. And so I really took a closer look. I thought about it. And I actually made a list of descriptors for myself that I'm going to share with you now, of things I just pick up, 10 different items. Number one, a successful businesswoman, an innkeeper, an established prostitute, an outsider in her society, an outsider and foreigner, unaware of God's laws or the Hebrew way in any way. She was sharp, she was aware, and she was wise. A follower of the one true God she would become. Righteous before God. She had become a Hebrew mother, wife, in the direct lineage of King David and Jesus himself. You know, you think about it. She wasn't raised in a church. She was raised worshiping idols, worshiping anything. And it appears she didn't do that too well, being a prostitute. No doubt, she lived as an outsider within Jericho itself. And then you think about what the Hebrews would have thought about her. Oh, we brought this prostitute from this town that we just destroyed. We're going to have her live in our midst. What do you think the Hebrews thought of her? She didn't fit anywhere. Except, and I love this part, except in God's plan. She didn't fit anywhere except the most important place. In God's plan. An outsider in Jericho and from the Hebrews, who God decided, I am going to work with her. Of all the people God could have worked with, how far down the list would you have put her? How far down the list would you have strategically placed Rahab in the list? The resources that God had to make use of. It really was nothing less than miraculous. Some say God works in mysterious ways. I say God works in such creative ways that we're blinded to what he's doing at times. I've heard people say God does not do any miracles anymore. He doesn't. But if you have ever seen someone go from a wayward life to walking with God and having a changed life, to being transformed, as I have seen, it is a miracle that people can take patterns that are established in their life and take new steps for Christ, for God's glory. No, God is in the business of miracles. One commentator said, Rahab, really, she almost plays the role of priest and prophet for saving the spies, but then giving them assurance what God has done within Jericho. But of all the things that leaped out at me, the things that struck me personally, was the fact she was an outsider, a non-Hebrew. And it reminded me of me. It reminded me of all of us, how we are not. Most of us are not Jewish. Is anyone Jewish here? No. We're all outside of God's chosen people. But God chooses who he'll have mercy on. The Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. People like you and me. We were just like Rahab. We were outside of God's plan. We weren't even on the radar. And the Apostle Paul said this, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises of God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. By faith, Rahab became righteous. By faith, we, you and I, can claim that same righteousness because of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Rahab became a mighty example of faith." And it's an important part. Her role was an important part of the redemption plan. And just like Rahab showed her faith to God by putting the scarlet red cord out to protect herself and her family, you can show faith in God by trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, who covers your sin with His blood, and you can experience protection today and for all eternity. So how do you react to this story? How can you apply it to your life? If you're not a Christian, see God. Become a Christian. Follow Him. If you are a Christian, understand, God wants to do mighty things in your life. But you need to be faithful. You need to trust Him. He wants to do great things for you in His plan. Be a person like Rahab, who was a woman of action. She decided, in matter of fact, in her case, she didn't even hesitate. She proclaimed the one true God and sought to recognize who God was. And God wants to do the same for our life. If, and it's a big if you'll let Him. Just like God told Joshua at the beginning of his journey, so He tells us. He says these words in Joshua 1:9. You might remember as Michael read them to us. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Let me close with a prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, it's amazing. It is miraculous how you work through sinful people. How you work from those of us who have made mistakes, missteps. It not only gives us hope, it inspires us. Not only did you use Rahab, you put her out there as an example for generations of Christians to see. She was not swept under the rug, but she was shown to be faithful, even though her past said just the opposite. What glorious things you do for us. Father, we recognize you as the one true God, and we ask that you make use of our life. Help us see clearly how we can be part of your plan. Help us see clearly how we can live our lives with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.